I will just say it as it comes to my mind because I did not prepare this as a sermon, but just as I will remember, I hope I'll be able to place it logically enough for somebody to catch the picture. Matthew chapter 11. I don't even have a sermon note for what I'm saying. Are we there? Hallelujah. Verse 7. Matthew 11 verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, because of his ministry. A ministry that is going to prepare way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ministry is more than a prophet. It's higher than just for somebody to come and see vision for you. And that's why there is no single record of any vision that John the Baptist even saw. Verse 10. He's describing John the Baptist to them. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Which scripture was he quoting here? It's Malachi again, chapter 3. Let's go there. Put your finger, we're coming back to John, Matthew chapter 11 again. But let's go to that Malachi. Chapter 3 now. We read chapter 4. This one now is chapter 3. John the Baptist quoted Isaiah 40 verse 3 for himself. Jesus Christ is quoting Malachi chapter 3 again as his ministry. Now, in Malachi chapter 3, behold, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That messenger, as the Lord is saying, that is John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, say the Lord of hosts. If I have enough time, I can explain this scripture. He said, he will send his messenger to prepare the way for him. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Are we together, church? I hope I'm talking to somebody. Amen. That scripture there, a lot of people don't understand what happened in Matthew chapter 3 when the Lord Jesus Christ went to be baptized by John the Baptist. It was this scripture that was being fulfilled. The messenger that God sent was John the Baptist, and he was there preparing and preaching and then baptizing the people unto repentance. And suddenly, one man walked in. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ was there, you know the discussion that took place. John identified him and said, I'm not worthy now. You should be the one baptizing me and you have come to me. And then Jesus said, suffer it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness. Because he was not coming to be baptized for repentance, for anything. But what righteousness? That is another thing entirely. But remember, as he came out of the water, the Bible records the heavens were opened and the Spirit of the Lord came like a dove upon him, and a voice spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That prophecy says, and the Lord whom you seek, who is the Lord they seek? The Jehovah God of creation that they worship will suddenly come to his temple. It was on that day that the heavens opened. I remember Jesus Christ, he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up. Jesus is the temple of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. That day, heaven opened and God and man united for the purpose of redemption. The heavens opened and God poured his spirit into that temple. And from that day he said, this is my beloved son. Inside of him I am well pleased to dwell. From that day, if you are looking for God, that is his address. That's why all worship is in him. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible in Colossians chapter 1, hallelujah, verse 15, it says, for Christ is the image of the invisible God. Verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him, inside of him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Chapter 2, verse 9 of Colossians, it says, For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him. That's why Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. And that's why Jesus is the Almighty God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's why the temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed, and up to now, people don't know why God allowed it to be destroyed and not being built again until, you know, thousands of years later. It's still not built now, but it will be rebuilt. The reason was, he told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, the Samaritans worship on that mountain, you Jews will worship in that mountain. He said, now, the time has come where you will neither worship in any mountain or any temple. God is looking for such that we worship him where? In spirit and in truth. He told him, say, you are worshiping a God you don't even know. That scripture is important. So many people are going to church today, they don't even know the God they are worshiping. Some of people know him as three persons in one God. How can three persons be the same? Oh, that is the doctrine of Trinity. That is an unscriptural doctrine. There is nothing like Trinity. It's one God manifesting in three offices, the same one God. Not three persons. God is a spirit, not a person. You worship a God you don't even know. If you had known him, you would have followed the scripture and see how he came and tabernacled in his... Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In his song. Hallelujah. And so Jesus Christ was telling them in Matthew 11, can we go back there? Verse 10, for this is he, John the Baptist, is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Anytime I read that scripture, it thrills me. It says, among men born of women, none has been greater than John the Baptist. Yet it said, in the kingdom of heaven, the least is greater than John the Baptist. A lot of people don't know why. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. John the Baptist was operating under the covenant that was sealed with the blood of an animal. But the born again Christians, we are operating under the covenant that is sealed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, John the Baptist did not have the God of creation dwelling inside of him as the Holy Ghost. We are the only ones privileged to have the God of creation dwelling inside of us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Until Jesus Christ died and resurrected, until what happened at the upper room, everyone that received the Holy Ghost only received the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It was after the death of Jesus Christ that the children of God now had God dwelling inside of us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God's hand coming upon you to use you. And there is the indwelling presence of God inside of us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That makes us greater than John the Baptist, the least. Would you clap your hands if you are born again? If you are born again. If you are born again. If you are not born again, come on your hand. If you are born again, do it joyfully, joyfully, joyfully. Hallelujah. Somebody will say, you say you want to talk about John, William Branham. What did they talk? Now William Branham, they talk, they go so. Just follow. I'm going somewhere. I go hit him now. Hear what he said again. Hallelujah. Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, verse 14 is my emphasis. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, Elijah, which was for to come. Then he added, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. You don't know why he added that. That if you can receive it, that is, if you can understand it, that Elijah that was prophesied by Malachi that will come, he said, now him be this. Amen. And so, the Jews are beginning, they are waiting for Elijah to resurrect from the grave and come back. No. It will not be the literal, that will be incarnation. A reincarnation. No. What that scripture is letting us know is that the anointing that John the Baptist was operating his ministry was the anointing that was on Elijah. That anointing was on Elijah, the Tishbite. It came on Elisha, his servant, on a double portion. And now, it's here now. Jesus Christ telling us on John the Baptist. He repeated it in Matthew 17. Let's go to Matthew 17. Are we there? Matthew 17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the story of the transfiguration. If you read it, if you read it from verse 1. Hallelujah. He took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and they went to show them something, his transfiguration. And then they saw Moses, they saw Elijah together with him in that vision. Now in verse 10, they were confused, and in verse 10, his disciples asked him, verse 10, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, he prophesied, Elijah truly shall first come and restore. Somebody shout restore. Oh, that is the key word there. Somebody shout restore. And you cannot talk of restoration until something has scattered. And Apostle Paul repeated it. Put your finger there. We are coming back there. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are we there? 2 Thessalonians. We are doing Bible study today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. From verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He's making that referring to the expectations of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture. That, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Telling them, don't begin to trouble yourself because we are saying, Christ will soon come, Christ will soon come, Christ will soon come. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except what? There come a falling away first. That is, all these things that we are preaching and teaching you now, this Bible Christianity, before Christ will come, there will be, the church will undergo a period where Christians will leave Bible Christianity, the teachings of the apostles, they will fall away first from the faith. So that God, knowing there will be a falling away, He prepared a ministry for restoration. If you don't catch this, you can never catch anything else, because you know that this is the period we are in. Look at this Bible and look at what is church today. Did this Bible not forbid woman pastor? Are we not having woman pastors today? Falling away from the faith. Has Christianity not turned to money-making ventures now? His business now. Where pastors now are counting the success of their ministries by the type of cars that they drive, the type of houses they have, and the property they have. Is that in the Bible? What was Apostle Paul boasting of, the apostle that brought the gospel to us in the Gentiles? Where do they get all those titles that they are holding today? Where do they get all those titles? Where is this reverend doctor? Where is all these schools of theology and seminaries and everything else? Where did they get it from? It's a product of the fall away. The denominational system, where do you get it from? It's a product of the falling away. And how, if Christ is coming today, which church is going in the rapture? This church disagrees with this church. Pentecostals disagree with Catholic. Catholic disagree with the evangelicals. They have confusion everywhere. And all of them are holding to this Bible. Who is correct? And every one of them is expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this confusion that is in, which group we go? That's why I say what I'm saying is a serious thing. Some of us, our eyes of understanding. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, falling away. Therefore, God, does God know tomorrow from today? Hallelujah. It does now. Before Israel. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah prophesied. After Isaiah's prophecy, it took 700 years before Christ was born. 700 years, Isaiah prophesied. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way for me. As at the time that prophecy was there in the Bible, did the Jews understand what it meant? God knows that Jews that started under Moses, Joshua took over, they were intact. Did you hear of Pharisees? Did you hear of Sadducees, the Zealots, and all those groups in the days of Moses and the days of Joshua? No. What happened? Everybody began to give their interpretation to the laws of Moses, and they were all holding on to Moses. But God knew, hallelujah, as they were moving in the wilderness and going, a time is going to come until their own idea of the worship of this Jehovah God will be torn to pieces. Therefore, he prepared a ministry that will prepare the way before that, hallelujah, that servant of God, that prophet, that Isaiah prophesied, that Moses prophesied, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah that the Jews were expecting, as at the time that it was time for him to come, they were so much involved in their error. Meanwhile, Jesus Christ came exactly as it was prophesied of him. It was prophesied, a virgin shall conceive and give birth. Didn't the virgin conceive? Where is he to be born? In Bethlehem. Was he not born in Bethlehem? It was written again in Isaiah 53 that his comeliness, he's not beautiful that he'll be desired. Why? A common carpenter. Now, born now. It's true. And meanwhile, they were busy in the holy temple and reading the Bible, and reading the Bible, and reading the Bible. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yet, that Messiah came and was walking among them. They say he is Beelzebub. They say he's of the devil. But meanwhile, they are still expecting him. Oh, they came. Oh, why? Because they were so involved in their error. That's why it was necessary for God to send a ministry that will prepare the heart so that when he manifests, there will be a people that will receive him. Amen. Matthew 17, are you there? Matthew 17, where we are reading? Verse 11, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Then he added, but I say unto you that Elijah has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. He was given a prophecy. He said, first, he said, Elijah will surely come and restore all things. That's future. Then as he's talking now again, he said, but I tell you, Elijah has come already. So, there is Elijah that has come, and there is Elijah that shall come. Verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of who? So the Elijah he was talking about was John the Baptist. Now, there is a question. If Elijah has come already, why are we saying Elijah shall come again? Two scriptures here. Where we read, he said, before the great and dreadful day, there are two different periods. There is the great day and there is the dreadful day. Before the great day, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be Elijah the prophet for salvation. Before his coming for the judgment of nations after the rapture, blessed be the name of the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, before for salvation, before the rapture now, because after the rapture judgment will come, there will be another Elijah. That is what that scripture is saying. How do we know? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Amen. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord speaking to Zechariah from verse 13. Hallelujah. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. I'm reading Luke chapter 1. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name who? I want to be sure you are following me. What will be his name? The angel was telling Zechariah, verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Now verse 17 is my emphasis. The angel was now quoting Malachi chapter 4. The part of the ministry that belonged to him. This is what he said. And he, John the Baptist, shall go before him in the spirit and power of who? Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. He didn't add to turn the heart of the children to the fathers. Why? He spoke other things, but concerning that prophecy, Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6 said, he is to turn the heart of the father, Elijah is to turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. Why? Because that is the part John the Baptist was to fulfill. Which fathers? The Jewish religious juggernauts, the religious leaders of that time, John the Baptist had the ministry to point their hearts to the period of grace that those apostles were going to preach. Those, the Lord Jesus Christ and those other ones that are referred to as the children. I want you to catch it. Hallelujah. That was his ministry. But after the apostles, hallelujah, came on the scene, they also preached, and through their ministries, it produced you and I, and that's why we refer to the apostles as our apostolic fathers. The children that they begotten through their gospel, you and I, after they died, they left the gospel, after they died, we shifted away from the gospel of our apostolic fathers. We shifted away and went into the denominational errors that we are in today. Before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the second time now, He, God, will use the same anointing of Elijah to turn the heart of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. That is what that scripture is talking about. That is, that scripture was to be fulfilled in two different periods. And I can show you two or three examples in the Bible, but because of time, let me just show you one. In Luke chapter 4, see something. Verse 16. Amen. Before we read that, go to Isaiah 61. Put your finger in Luke 4. If you are there, Isaiah chapter 61, so that we can understand Luke chapter 4. I will read two verses there. Verse 1 and verse 2. Isaiah 61. No, I'm taking my time explaining this because some people say it is this aspect of question and answer that they love so much about Tuesday counseling with Shiloh. We want them to be satisfied. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I'm reading verses 1 and 2, Isaiah 61. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim, verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, 1, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Go to Luke now, chapter 4, verse 16. Verse 16, Luke chapter 4. And he came to Nazareth, Jesus Christ, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. He found Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19 is verse 2 of Isaiah 61. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He stopped there. He didn't go to and the day of vengeance. I want you to note it. He quoted only one part of that scripture and stopped, verse 20. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fasting on him. They were wondering why he stopped in the middle of a verse like that. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Which scripture? The one that he read. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is his ministry now. He's now in the period of declaring, whosoever, for God so loved the world. Give your life to God. Listen, he was proclaiming liberty. Are we not part of the product of that liberty, brethren? Eh? When we are saying which has no power over us. When we are saying grave has no power over us, we have the hope of resurrection. When we are saying if I die today, I will be with my Lord. Where do you get that freedom from? It was through Christ. That is the meaning of the gospel. The gospel is good news. Good news, salvation of mankind. That's all he came for, the salvation of mankind. That is the acceptable year. The acceptable year, that is a time that any sinner can come to God now, God will receive you. This acceptable period. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why didn't he add, and the day of vengeance? Because the day of vengeance is going to come some thousands of years later, over 2,000 years later. So it was not yet the day of vengeance, it was the acceptable year of the Lord. So that is where you can see what we are talking about. Blessed be the name of the Lord.